What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 396, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host Ryan, and he is obviously really excited about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, it seems.
I am. What can I say? We talked about it a little bit at the end of the show last week. Came away with the win on Sunday. So
that it was really, I have to say, they really didn't show up in the first half, but the second half, they turned it around. I still don't think this team was as good as previous teams.
No, I agree, but they just have a way of coming back. And
yeah, I think it has a lot to do with Mahomes. I mean, that's just like when the Steelers were actually a good team, like Roethlisberger, like you give it to him on like a no huddle offense, and like he's getting it down the field. And like same thing with Brady, like Brady would just like come back, and So it was good. I'm glad it was close. Like I said, when the Super Bowls are blowouts, like you kind of just stop watching the game because it's just not exciting. But no, it was a good Super Bowl. Halftime show was good. Somebody posted on Twitter that was like, for people our age, you know, because like we're in our late 30s, it's like it was our first oldies concert.
Oldies, yeah.
You know, because it was Usher. But no, that was really cool.
That's good. It was fun.
Yeah, did you see any commercials that like stood out to you?
I don't think so. You know, I sat there the whole time. Was concentrated on the game. I feel like I was like looking at things on my phone during commercials for the most part.
Timu had three Super Bowl commercials,
and they are pronouncing it differently now all of a sudden.
We didn't know how to pronounce it apparently.
Yeah, but I think they had commercials last Super Bowl. Like I feel like they had one last Super Bowl.
Maybe, I don't remember.
I don't know.
But yeah, and then you know what's really funny? So during the game, or like during a commercial break or something, our friend accidentally hit the remote, and I thought it was a commercial because you remember the Tubi commercial. Yes. I was like, "Wait, is this a commercial?" He's like, "No, I accidentally hit the remote."
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, nothing really kind of like stood out to me, like especially like tech commercials, like they weren't
like car. Like I don't know that I can't think of any that were really memorable.
Yeah, and I was at a party.
I feel bad for those marketing people that spent the money and all the time designing that.
The Dunkin' commercial was funny. That had like, everybody.
But I can't stand Ben Affleck. So that's.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't want to get into it.
He's good in certain roles. There's some movies that like people are like, "Oh, the movie's amazing." I thought he was bad in. But it was a funny commercial in my opinion. I thought that one was funny. I think the most memorable commercials for the most part at the Super Bowl are like the funny ones, like the ones that make you laugh.
Yes.
Or like again, like the Tubi commercial that like they got you, like they thought it was, you know.
I guess the Christopher Walken one, was it like a BMW commercial, I think? Was
this year?
Was kind of funny. Yeah.
I don't remember even seeing it. So
yep.
I'd have to look that up. But yeah, cool Super Bowl. They said it was the most watched Super Bowl too.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yep.
And the most money that was bet on the game as well in Vegas, they said. Yeah. And Corey's in the chat. He said Taylor Swift concert. Yeah, I mean, you knew that was going to happen. There was a video of her like chugging a beer, which was funny to see.
Yeah, it was funny. You knew that was going to come though, like her being on camera.
Yeah, and then the videos after of Kelsey's brother at the club hammered.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
They went to, where did they go?
They went to XS at Wynn, right? And then they also went to somewhere at Resorts World.
Yeah, if you're going to win a championship, Vegas is probably the best place to do it because you can party all night there. And it was just the stuff I saw on Twitter, the videos and everything. It's just so funny.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. But anyways, enough about the Super Bowl. Obviously, this is not a sports podcast, a tech podcast. So we're going to talk about tech. We have a lot, actually not so much to talk about. We have some really cool reviews and some other stuff. And we're going to go over one of the things that I've complained about on this podcast for quite a long time. USB naming and what it all means, and for you guys to easily understand it. So that's going to be part of our question of the week. If you guys do want to follow along, we do have our show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So as we go through the stories, you can go ahead and click through and get more information on what we're going to be talking about. Of course, we're going to start out with reviews this week. And I took a look at a retro keyboard. So ASIO Retro Classic, I think a lot of people know this keyboard just because when it first came out, it was like very different. And I wouldn't call it iconic because I wouldn't put that label on it, but it was very different and unique at the time. And over the years, obviously, like mechanical keyboards have gotten so good. And, you know, the Retro Classic was kind of just, I wouldn't say forgotten about, but there were a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to use it on a daily basis. And I think that with this new keyboard, ASIO did kind of address some of those issues. So the new keyboard that just released today is their Retro Classic Prestige. It comes in two colors. I have the dark color. There's also an all white one, which looks really, really cool as well. Full size keyboard. And obviously, if you're not familiar with the Retro Classic line of keyboards, they're made to look retro. They're made to look kind of like typewriter, sort of steampunkish as well. You have some really cool, unique materials that the keyboard is made out of. And this one is actually made out of wood, which looks really cool, and like a gunmetal frame. So this is actually, the black is actually all wood. And then we have an all metal kind of gunmetal frame, and you can kind of see like the screws in there. Just to give it like that sort of retro look. Now, the massive change with this keyboard compared to previous Retro Classic keyboards are that the actual keycaps are more square. The ones on the previous keyboard were circular. And while that looks super cool, and if you're looking for that really cool setup look, typing on a circular keycap is just not all that comfortable. And I reviewed all of the Retro Classics before, and that was the biggest gripe, was like, as an everyday keyboard, it's not that comfortable. So what they've done is they've made these more of a square with sort of rounded edges. And these keycaps are super nice because you have like the main keycap section in the middle, but then around each keycap is like this sort of like metallic outer frame. It just looks really cool. Obviously, these pictures aren't necessarily going to do it as much justice, but again, it looks awesome. Like these look amazing. And again, it gives you that really retro feel, which is awesome. You have like these oversized LEDs for all of your indication, you know, caps lock, scroll lock, all that kind of stuff. At the top there, there is backlighting. It is white, which I'll show you. We do have mechanical key switches. These are the Gateron G Pro 3.0s, and we have the brown ones, and it's hot swappable, so you can swap these out. So that's one of the big changes as well. As you know, new switches come out, a lot of people just buy a brand new keyboard, and with the previous Retro Classics, if you wanted to try out new switches, you couldn't because it wasn't hot swappable. So now they're hot swappable. Now you can take these out, which is really nice there as well. And this keyboard is wireless as well. So you can do Bluetooth or wired connectivity. Windows and Mac supported as well. So work on both platforms. Really cool. The actual feet here, they're really, really cool. So by default, this is kind of how the keyboard sits. But all you do is you like just turn the this top one right here just turns, and it gives you more of an extension, which is pretty cool. Really unique way to do it instead of like the pop-out feet. Just looks pretty cool in my opinion. So they did a really good job with that there as well. And again, you can see those like really big oversized feet, which again add to the whole aesthetic of the keyboard. I think looks wise this keyboard's great. Like I said, it is full size too, so you get your full complement of keys and you get a full number pad. So this is a larger keyboard overall. As far as that lighting goes, here is what it looks like. I mean, it's only white. It's not per key RGB or anything like that. And there are no effects. So there's just brightness levels. There's like five different brightness levels. And that's basically all you're going to get. But that is what it looks like. I think it looks really cool. Again, this is a very much an aesthetic piece that's going to sit on your desk if you're going for a certain look. But I do think overall in my typing experience, it's a much more comfortable keyboard than the previous keyboards, which I think is the biggest thing. Because with anything, if it looks cool, you know, I always say this, like with girls' clothes, like they'll wear the dress once, but they're not going to wear it multiple times, especially if it's not comfortable. Yeah. This is kind of like the same thing. It's like, yeah, like those circular keys are nice, but like how long are you going to actually type on them? Because it's not that comfortable. This is actually a really comfortable typing experience, which I was actually really surprised at, because again, I reviewed the previous keyboards, and while you can kind of get used to the circular keys, like your fingers kind of slip off of them, and it's just, it's just not comfortable. So this is a much more comfortable typing experience. I do have an audio sample of typing on the keyboard if you want to know what it sounds like. It's a pretty good overall typing experience on the actual keyboard itself. Beyond that, there is no software either, so you can't reprogram this. So this is kind of hard to really suggest for gamers out there, especially people who use macros or things like that. That was kind of the downside to the keyboard in general. They are launching this on Kickstarter today. $149 for the early bird, and then $169 after that. And then the MSRP will be $209 after the Kickstarter. But the Kickstarter just started today, so you have 30 days if you want to get it. And yeah, we have the link to the Kickstarter in the review. I gave it an 8 out of 10. One, no software. And I think, you know, when the original Retro Classic came out, mechanical keyboards and unique keyboards were kind of like a novelty. And now we have such a big choice, right? We have so much choice when it comes to mechanical keyboards from well-known brands, from brands that we've never heard of. Like we just did the Arbiter Studio review last week, and getting these really good keyboards. And I think the bar has to be set higher in not having software. The keycaps themselves are a bit flat. It's kind of a basic mechanical keyboard beyond the looks.
Yeah, no RGB either.
No RGB. You know, it's very comfortable. It feels great. But like, you know, using something like the Arbiter Studio, or using, you know, like the Holy Panda X switches from Drop and some of the other things, and those keyboards that have like an amazing sound, which I don't think the sound on this... It's good. It gives you that good mechanical sound and what you would want, but it's not to that next level. So that's why I gave it an 8 out of 10. I still think it's a great keyboard. I think it's very comfortable to type on, but it's not to that sort of next level. I think that ASIO could have done... I think that they want to keep the same design too, because this is the same design they've had since, like, I don't know when the first one came out, but I mean, they've had this design for years, right? I think they could have done something a little better as far as material and again, but I do think it's cool. Check out the white one too. Like I'll go on the Kickstarter page here. See if you can see the white one. So this is what the white one looks like.
Good. And is it wood on that one as well underneath?
It's ivory.
Or
I think it's white leather and ivory.
White leather.
Yeah, white and leather and ivory on that one. So that one does look really cool. And then the outer is like a silver. It does look cool. And again, these are really great for like a setup look and things like that. And again, I really like that they changed the keycaps, because now they are very comfortable to type on. So like I said, but I gave it an 8 out of 10. Check out the review if you're interested. We do link the Kickstarter if you want to check out more information. On there's like a kind of close-up of what the white looks like as well, to see the difference there. But I do think they look good. It just software would just kind of bring it to the next level too, I think, especially if somebody who wants to use this and you are a gamer, like not having the ability to do macros and things like that is a little bit of a letdown. But yeah, check out that review. And then Ryan took a look at a 360 millimeter AIO. I don't know, Ryan, if you want to bring that up on the screen.
Whoops, wrong one. There it is. Share. There we go. Nice. Yeah, so I took a look at another 360 millimeter liquid cooler, this time from Azza. And I think Azza was maybe one of the first brands or products that I looked at when I started writing for you. So it.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've ever looked at any. Yeah, I think I did like two cases from them back in 2017.
I don't even remember that long.
I know it had been that long since I had personally looked at an Azza product. So familiar with them, but just not a brand we, you know, work with very often, obviously. So took a look at their Cube 360. They also make a 240 millimeter version of this. It's going to be the same product other than just a smaller radiator and one less fan. So Asda kind of designed this to be a easy entry level all-in-one liquid cooler, right? It's not going to break the bank. Doesn't have a ton of cutting edge features either. But it's great, like entry level all-in-one cooler, and we'll kind of go over some of the items here. Comes with all the mounting hardware, obviously, that you need for current Intel and AMD sockets. So gonna have a lot of compatibility there. And it's, from this image, just kind of your standard all-in-one liquid cooler, right? You've got your pump, well, I would say pump housing. This one's a little different, so that's a bit unique. But you have your water block here with some lighting zones on it, your standard braided cables, and painted black radiator to go along with it. Nothing real special about the radiator other than the fact that the fins have a patented design, and they have a rectangular design. So a lot of times the fins in between the water channels on the radiator, so you have your water channels in this image that are going horizontally, and then you have all the fins in between. A lot of times those are like angled and only make contact with those water channels at like a point on every point of the triangle. Well, these are rectangular, so you have a flat portion that's making contact with that water channel, so you actually have more surface area touching the more surface area of the fins touching the water channels on each side, so you get better transfer of heat from the water out of those channels into the fins. So that's kind of a cool feature there, to get a little better heat dissipation. This is also a 35 millimeter radiator. A lot of the other radiators we look at are usually right around 27 millimeters. We recently looked at the Asus Ryujin 3, and it had a 30 millimeter. So that was even thicker than normal. This one's a 35 millimeter. So you have the potential to get rid of that heat a lot more efficiently with this thicker radiator, right? As long as you've got fans that can push through that extra fin density and thickness of the radiator. Unfortunately, the specs on the fans don't necessarily match up with the radiator very well, as far as their static pressure and how much airflow they have. We'll get to that in a second, though. This cooler is pretty unique, though. As you can see on the end cap of the radiator, you have this little square that's kind of built into the end cap. That's where the pump is in this design. So this doesn't have a pump on the water block like we see on most other all-in-one liquid coolers. Cool thing about that is it removes a cable from that area in the build, so you don't have that cable mess coming out of the CPU area that you've got to route around, right? Which just helps. It's kind of a nice feature to do that. Is it an Asetek pump and bracket? No, it is not Asetek design that I'm aware of. Yeah, sorry, I was looking at chat I'm going through here. That's why I brought that up. But yeah, just kind of a cool design on that water block area, though. Asda created like this pyramid triangle design with multiple layers of RGB lighting on it, and it looks really cool lit up. We'll get to that in a second. But other than that, it's just a pretty basic design, just a square that sits on top of your CPU socket. You've got your standard rotating fittings on there to make installation and fitment easier when putting it into your system. Standard, again, copper base plate that's going to cover all of the current CPUs that fit the sockets that this is designed for. Nothing to really speak about here on these components. Here's a look at the fans. They are very basic and, in all honesty, feel pretty cheap. They're just they flexed, like the frame was a little bit flexible, which kind of stinks. They do have rubber pads in each of the corners, which is nice, because with a kind of a weak fan body, I was almost expecting them to rattle or just possibly introduce some vibration. So that's what's always nice about rubber pads in the corners, can help remove some of that sound if it becomes present. Got a cool mirrored design in the middle of the fan hub and RGB lighting as well. These fans are daisy chainable, but they are not cableless daisy chainable. You know, we've seen some really nice new fans come out recently with magnetic connections and pogo pin connections to transfer power and data for your lighting. These don't use that design. They have just a like little pigtail coming off of the fan so that you can connect them to the next fan in line. It does reduce cable clutter, but not 100%. So again, you're not going to get out of this kit the really high-end features, especially for the price that this comes in at. But another feature with these fans is they're only a 3-pin. Everything on here is 3-pin, including the pump on the radiator as well as the fan. So you're not getting PWM control on these. So you're just going to have to rely on voltage control for these fans. It's another money savings piece, right? It's a little more expensive to get that PWM feature and functionality into fans. All right, moving on here. Installation is pretty straight.
Is the pump PWM?
It is not. Nope. The pump is a 3-pin as well.
Interesting.
Yep. Yep. No PWM.
I read the review, so I know. But yeah, okay, keep on going.
Yeah. Well, and what? Yeah. So here's a look at the fans, and you can see that this is a 4-pin if you look at it, right? That's a 4-pin plug, but there are not four lines going on it. The only ones that are there are the standard 3-pin.
Gotcha.
For this design. You can see, though, I've got the fans mounted to the radiator. There is less cable clutter, but there's still some additional mess with it compared to cable-less daisy-chaining fans. Better than nothing, so want to definitely mention that. Pretty standard install, though. You take off the stock AMD brackets and put on a couple threaded screws and a mounting plate here. Now, one thing I did run into, however, was this design requires you to put the mounting bracket on and then
Reminds me of an old Asetek design,
right? And it may be an older design that they've reused, or maybe the patent has come up on this and is no longer in use, but you had to have these screws really loose, and I actually had to remove one of them in order to get the water block mounted properly, because it's a square and you're trying to place it in a spot and then rotate it around.
Yeah. Well,
this corner here would run into
that's
thumb screw, right?
On previous, I don't know if this is Asetek or not, but that was one of the worst parts about the installation on that specific series. And it's like almost like night and day compared to like the mounting systems we have now and a lot of the newer coolers,
right?
Because that is like, I wouldn't say it's nightmare fuel, but like it just reminds me of the stress of like trying to put it in there and then trying to get the line up, and then like one of those little grooves doesn't line up, and like you said, because that square housing is a little bit larger, you had to remove, like it's not what we're used to per se.
Yeah, and the way it's held, the way it mounts is like you can't take this bracket and put it onto the pump housing and keep, because it's just going to be loose, right? So you have to like do it this way. It's not ideal by any means, and it could definitely be a frustration point for someone that hasn't had the experience of putting on multiple coolers and realizing like what you actually need to do to get it to fit on there. So that was kind of a pain. Other than that, though, it went on just fine in the build. Moving on to performance, though, not amazing results from it. Not our worst, but not our best, for sure. Our idle temperatures, it's at 30 degrees, which when you compare it to our best, that's only 6 degrees above our best, but it's still towards the top of our liquid cooler field of coolers that we've tested in the past. So, and then same thing with load temperatures. It was at 42 degrees, which again isn't the hottest, but not the best performing either. I'm going to go back to price to performance here with this kit is kind of something to keep in mind, right?
I think that the reason you're not getting the as good of performance is because those fans are running at the same speed. The pump is running at the same speed.
Right. Yeah. Unless you make manual adjustments to that, fan, right, you're not going to get that PWM control.
So that's, you know, because typically you know, your CPU, like you're doing your testing, you're putting load on the CPU, that pump and some AIOs it's just the pump, some AIOs it's just the fans, or some it's both, but those will ramp up because that CPU is getting hotter and the PWM is telling those fans, you need to ramp up to keep this, you know, under control. So that's a bit disappointing.
Yeah, an old man was saying that design looks like Ace Attack, and it may be that they're utilizing it. They didn't mention Ace Attack in the design or in any of their documentation.
Yeah,
and I don't know how, if that design is still patented by them or if it's opened up. And
that's an old design. I haven't, like I said, that was like sounding like the first gen of AIOs, and that that whole process was just never a fun thing bad. To do. Yeah.
So here's a couple shots of it lit up. Doesn't come with a lighting controller or anything, but the connection is just a standard 3-pin ARGB header. So as long as you got a compatible motherboard or lighting controller.
I do think it looks really good. Ryan did a video we put on social of the actual lighting.
I think it had it going like a like rainbow or something.
But I think it for a non-LCD based AIO, mm-hmm. I do like the design of the lighting. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, no, it does look very nice. The fans look pretty good lit up as well. You can kind of see them in some of these images that we got here. So overall, I gave this cooler a 7 out of 10. What were you gonna say? You gonna say something?
Yeah, I was gonna say, how much is it?
So it is the 360 is $99, so right at $100. It's not terrible. The installation can be a little tricky. The performance just wasn't there for me. The fans were a little iffy, right? I think it could have some, no PWM. It's just there's some nice things that you get with another $20 to $30 sometimes, or a brand that's a little more well-known that can maybe afford to put in some of those nicer features at the same price point, right? Not to say that this is bad, right? This can still go into, you know, a beginner build, a first-time build, a budget build, and it's going to cool all but the hottest CPUs and keep them cool, right? You can utilize it. It's just, I just wasn't overall impressed with it, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
But we don't have to be overly impressed with every product, exactly. Right?
I mean, but no, I do think it looks great. I definitely am kind of disappointed with that that bracket is.
Yeah.
That's like a 10-year-old bracket or something. At least that type of design where you put it in and you turn it. Never was a fan of that, in my opinion.
Old man was asking if you have to adjust the speed in the box. Yeah, you'd have to just make adjustments. Or if I guess your motherboard can send different voltages maybe to it, depending on what your motherboard supports.
Yeah. So your motherboard, depending on your motherboard, it will, you can set the speeds. You can also set a curve and it should change the speed of those fans based on that. I think.
Just don't get the minute little changes that you get with PWM to like React as well.
Yeah. So check out that review. I still think it looks really good overall. So moving on from that, I took a look at a flash drive. This is new tech here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people yelled, we posted this on TikTok and a lot of people were saying, oh, this is 10-year-old tech and all this stuff. And I was trying to explain to them that this is a USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drive, Gen 2, which we'll get to at the end of the podcast when we talk about USB. But this is the Patriot Supersonic Rage Prime. As I said, this is a USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drive. Super small. As you can see, it's really small. It's not that big. It's a flash drive, so there's not a whole lot to talk about with this. Plastic though, which not the biggest fan of, especially at this performance level, but it's plastic. It does have the retractable cap, so the USB drive itself, or like the USB connection, is protected. And when it comes to type A's, that's definitely really good. So that is protected. And it's just a small little drive. As you can see, it's like in my hand there. It's not,
it's amazing that you can fit a terabyte into that space.
Yeah, so this is available up to a terabyte too. I believe it's 128, 250, 500, and 1 terabyte. So this is the largest capacity, 1 terabyte, which is a lot of data that you can put in a small flash drive. And there's not much to, like I said, it's a flash drive. It's you know, not much to it. But the interesting thing in my testing is we ran Crystal Dismark, and this drive is rated for around 600 megabytes a second. And as you can see in Crystal Dismark, I mean, we're at right around 600 megabytes a second. And then we ran some other tests, and we're like getting close to almost 1,000 megabytes a second in a lot of these other tests, as you can see. So I would say, depending on your system, you know, you could theoretically get this to true USB 3.2 Gen 2 speeds, not just the 600 megabytes a second. I think it has a lot to do with the drive and how the drive kind of heats up as well. That has a lot to do with it too, because it does get hot.
Did you notice it getting warm?
Yeah, it does get warm. So I think that this could be this is the true speed if it gets hot, and if it doesn't, these are the, you know, you basically, if you have a motherboard or laptop that's USB 3.2 Gen 2, if it doesn't get that hot and you're doing like short writes and things like that, it should theoretically get up to that 1,000 megabytes a second, which is really good for a flash drive, and a flash drive that's 1 terabyte. I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's $97.99, which can be expensive for a flash drive. But again, it's 1 terabyte. 2, it's very fast. And 3, I wish I had it here. Oh, I do have it here. I mean, let me make myself big here real quick so you guys can see. I mean, this is the drive. It's super small, as you can see. So very, very small. I feel like, you guys in the chat, is my screen like, I feel like there's like a film on my screen, like I don't look like
as clear as normal.
Yeah, or maybe it's just like the reflection off of this drive. Hold on a second. Like, does this look, yeah, it just looks, at least like what I'm looking at, this doesn't look.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I get the across the internet version, so
yeah, I
mean, pretty standard for your,
but in any case, this is a drive, it's very small, as you can see. But this is a terabyte on that, which is awesome for transferring data, for doing stuff like that. Just a great little drive. And again, it's fast. So like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10. My only real gripe with the drive beyond the price is that it's made of plastic. We have seen some other drives. Do I have it? I do have it. Like this Lexar drive right here, as you can see, like it's made of metal, which is a lot nicer. So that was my only gripe with the drive, but check out the review. Like I said, if you're looking for a fast, drive, and these go on sale a lot too, because flash drives are stuff that people just always need just for transferring data, going back and forth from work and things like that. So, they go on sale a lot too. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Cool little drive. Moving on from that, we did announce a contest last week, giving away a copy of Power World, which I still have yet to play. I've seen so many memes for Power World on social media, which is really funny. But we are giving a copy away. 5 hours left. So if you're listening to this on audio, you probably missed it. It's probably passed. But don't worry, because we're giving away one of these.
Oh, there you go.
Tomorrow. So we'll be launching the contest for one of these tomorrow. But if you're listening to the podcast now, you're listening to the stream, you're in the stream, enter to get a copy of Power World, and this is worldwide. So because this obviously is a digital product, we can do worldwide. Most of the physical products like this are usually like US and Canada. So get your entry in. Super easy to enter. Just fill out this widget, and there's a bunch of different ways you can enter as well. So yeah, really cool. The link is in the show notes. And if you go to the website, you just click on contests, and it is the first one. So it's right there. So, and we will, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I have a box of stuff to give away. So we'll be like rolling contests. Like hopefully we'll be doing some rolling contests, and we are doing a bunch of launch product reviews. So I'm going to try to get them to send me two of each.
Oh, wow.
Launch. Well, like once for us to review, and yeah, then one to give away to you guys. So that's kind of the, what we're going to try to do. So we're going to have a lot of giveaways. So if you don't get the Power World, you don't get this drive, we'll have a bunch of stuff coming up. And it's going to be exciting year for giveaways. So Hopefully we'll do more than last year. So we did some big ones. We did the RTX 4070. Yep. We did some other ones. But we'll have some really cool stuff to give away this year as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. Moving on to Case Mod Friday. We have a really interesting one. This is super themed, but interesting. And it is obviously a showpiece, like for a brand. But I do think it's cool. So this is called Winter. And if you guys are watching,
it looks stream, very wintery.
Yeah. It's sort of fashioned after a snowflake. This one, who is this by? This is by Monstar Gear, which I don't believe we've featured them before.
Doesn't sound familiar.
This is part of the Thermaltake Case Mod Invitational. And obviously this is a show of Thermaltake products and things like that, but it's fashioned after a snowflake, and that's sort of made up of all these different reservoirs, and these are all functioning, like they all work. So the water is being circulated like throughout the entire thing, which is pretty cool. Motherboard in the middle, graphics card, all of that, this sort of chrome water cooling. And again, all the water cooling is done by Thermaltake, products as well. And you can see the back, how everything is all connected. This is obviously custom made. Are these like the fill ports up here, Ryan, at the top?
I'm going to say yes. Yeah. Like a fill and a like not a drain port, cause it'd be the same thing, but so you can get some air in there and you don't have a vacuum. But yeah.
Yeah. So then you can see the two radiators on the back, two 360s, and then the bigger reservoir here. What's the point of this big
I wonder if there's two loops, actually.
You would know more than I'm trying
I mean,
to.
I didn't trace this thing out or anything.
Yeah. But. Yeah. It's cool, though. It's in obviously like this all lights up. It's kind of like a
custom. Yeah. Why would you have another res back there? That's kind of weird.
I did notice that. But it looks really cool, all lit up. They have this little
screen
there as well to show off some cool things. Like this is what that. Oh, that looks super cool. I didn't even notice all the
logos on there.
On the back. Yeah, that's awesome. Lots of craftsmanship in this too, and that's what it looks like. You know, dark.
Looks good.
Yeah, it's really cool. You can see the screen down there.
Reminds me of one of those like ice sculptures that were at a bar or something. You know.
Like that brings you back to the ice. Ice, and you do the shot. The luge,
and it comes down. Yeah,
the shot luge. Yeah, remember doing that? I don't think they do that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, the ports. That's pretty cool. They have all the ports down there too.
I think about all the machine work and everything you have to have access to. All these tools to do the work like this.
And just like having the confidence, like Bill is like, oh, there's not going to be any leaks in any of these things that I've built myself. You know, like that's the biggest thing that I think about is like, okay, I'm going to build this awesome custom, you know, these custom reservoirs that are going to be connected, and like all this water is flowing throughout. Like I'm building this myself. Hopefully there's no leaks. You know, but yeah, it's a really cool build. Shout out to Monstar Gear, and we have their YouTube page. They have a YouTube video on this as well if you want to check it out. You know, of them building this and stuff, if you want to get all the details. So that'd be pretty cool to watch as well. So that is it for Case Mod Friday. We'll move to news, and all the supercards came out.
Yep.
Now prices of other graphics cards are going down to kind of fill in the gaps, and we have a competition going on right now as far as pricing for the RTX 4070 Ti, again non-super, and the Radeon RX 7900 XT. Both of these have been discounted down to $699. So for the 4070 Ti, that was originally launched at for $799 last year. It's down $100, so you can get it for $699, which is a good price. So it's $749.99 on Newegg, and then there's a $50 promo code that you can do as well to get it down to that price. Lots of discounts going on, lots of price, prices. Same with the RX 7900 XT. This is getting low as well. You can get it for, the Sapphire Pulse version. You can get that for $699 as well. obviously the big thing that stands out with comparing these two cards is that the 7900 XT has 20 gigabytes of memory, where the 4070 Ti doesn't. Now, if you were to pick a card, which one would you pick?
I think 7900 XT for sure.
Yeah, that's the one you'd go with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Because if I remember correctly, 7900 XT and the 4070 Ti Super, were the 7900 XT was outperforming it in a lot of testing and benchmarks that I saw. So, yeah.
Yeah, lots of discounts. I think we're going to see a lot of discounts going down the line here. Because again, these are the last graphics cards of their generations that will be coming out in this, like in the mid-range to high-end category. So you're not going to see anything till we see the next line of Radeon cards and the next line of GeForce cards. So there's going to be a lot of price kind of competition going till those launches happen. So expect more. NVIDIA did email me a price list for discounts on, not on specific graphics cards, but on systems and laptops that feature GeForce products for President's Day, which is what, Tuesday or Monday?
Monday.
So there's a President's Day sale, and there's some nice laptops that are going to be discounted. Cool. We'll post about some of those on Monday, but yeah, lots of discounts happening. So that's definitely something good to see. You see the competition. You see AMD being pretty aggressive with pricing as well, because obviously they don't want to price those cards that way, but they kind of have to compete. So it's good, definitely good to see that. Talking about the new super cards, we reviewed the RTX 4080 Super, and you couldn't get one for the first week and a half when they were launched. They were basically sold out anywhere. You could get them like the first day. Best Buy had some, but they were immediately gone. All the online stores, like, they had like a handful and then they were gone. I think the 4080 Super is what a lot of people are choosing now. They're like, again, like I said, these are the last kind of cards in the price range for people who don't want to make that big step up to the 4090. 4080 Super is kind of like the best that you're going to get within that sort of price range, that, you know, I'm going to spend $1,000 on a graphics card price range. That's kind of it. So yeah, like not a whole lot available. We wrote this story on the 9th. It's the 14th now. I mean, we can go to Amazon and let's see if we can find.
Yes. Yeah, so what's available now?
RTX 4080.
If anything. Super.
Let's see. So if I go RTX 4080 Super, so you can get the PNY. You can get a Zotac. This card has been available. The MSI Expert like card, like, I think they made like a million of these because every retailer has.
Everybody's got it.
But nobody wants to buy this. This card's awesome.
Not for that price. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's very high over MSRP. People want the MSRP models like this PNY, and that's still, still a little bit over MSRP. Two left in stock on the Ventus 3X. And again, that's still like, these are, you know, all over MSRP. So the MSRP models are still very hard to find. When we first wrote the story, like, there were no cards except for this MSI card. That was the only one. So not a lot of cards available, especially MSRP models. Old man in the chat said, he could have got the 4080 Super for $999 at launch, but hesitated and they sold out in minutes. Yeah. Best Buy is now doing like in-store only, Micro Center in-store only when they do have models. So this is going to be, I think this is going to be the hot card to get down the, like I said, down the line. Cause it's again, yeah, the 4090 is the best performing, but that's like a much higher price that's a big jump. Than a lot of people want to spend. So, but that MSI card, the Expert card, has been available. It is just, it is expensive. So yeah, we'll see if we get.
I wonder if you have to, like, if they show accurate stock online, or whether you just got to show up again and again. You know what I mean?
I think they should. I think they do show stock online, and like maybe you maybe, I believe it's just pickup only. So like if you, you know, like you can go to bestbuy.com and then you can put in like your zip code and it shows like your local store. And if it's available, you can buy it. Like you can buy it online, but you have to pick it up in store. They won't ship. They won't ship it. So
yeah, everything's sold out. It looks like for me.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a tough one to get. Talking about a 4080 Super, this is a monstrosity of a card. I had actually never heard of this company. This is a system builder called SciComm, and they've put together this 4080 Super. That looks like this with an AIO, which is
I mean, I like the design of the shroud on the card. I think that looks kind of cool, but yeah.
Yeah. So this is their, and it has these weird levels. Do you see that?
I do. I was like,
I just noticed that. I had
are never they supposed to be that. Like liquid, you know, is it supposed to make us think that there's,
I mean, at least it's going to tell you that your graphics card's level.
And there's a battery. Isn't that a battery symbol there too? Like it looks like a charging battery, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that. I think that probably just lights up.
Yeah.
Or you know what? That could show you that like the AIO is powered. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, yeah, it's like
it looks like a charging battery. All that the Furious going on again.
Yeah, I know. It's been like a lot lately too.
Good lord, that build is a mess inside. Look at
that's the thing too. So you have the three cables, you have the AIO going, and the AIO is only a 240.
Yeah,
you know, it's a mess. But anyways, this company that's part of their upgrade, like within building that, you know, within their custom build, you can get this card. It's interesting. It has Noctua fans, obviously.
In that picture, the fans are in pull configuration, but in the build, they were in a push, it looked like.
Yeah, yeah. The interesting thing about this is probably one of the few hybrid cards that you can get that's mm-hmm. not insanely more expensive than...
Yeah. Well, than do we have a price on this?
No, but it can't... I mean, it's... Oh, this is in yen. I don't know how much that is.
28,000 yen.
Yeah, so the configuration costs 462,000 yen. What is that?
28,000. Wait, that can't be right. 28,000 is only $186.
That's how much the upgrade costs. So the system with the 4080 Super.
Oh, it's 462.
Yeah, 462,000 yen to US. What is that, Ryan?
$3,075, so almost okay. $3,100
plus the 2,800 yen to do the upgrade to this.
So yeah, like yeah, $3,200.
Yeah. So and that's with a Z790 14700K and the 40. Yeah. It's interesting. It's cool though. It's just something kind of out of left field, but I think it's pretty interesting. One of the nice things that's has happened over the past couple months is that especially with 4090s and on the Gigabyte side, they were dealing with some cracking PCBs. You can kind of see it in this picture where like the actual PCB would crack because again, the cards are heavy and people that aren't using GPU support brackets too, like you could get a crack in your PCB. They have addressed that issue, and On all the new supercards, it has been addressed, and they've added this like extra piece of whatever in the cards. But that's nice to see. You know, they're not, you know, so they won't have that issue, and obviously that helps them with RMA and stuff. But yeah, so you're not breaking your traces, and two, you're not cracking your card. So they added some extra support on that connector, which is really nice to see. So kudos to Gigabyte for fixing that. And again, that's all in all the new Super models. So if you're buying a 4080 Super, it will have this little section added. And I think mostly 4080 Super and 4090 are the cards that really have this type of issue because they're so heavy. And that's going to cause that. So, but in any case, if you are using a bigger card in general, most of the big cards these days, especially like the non-MSRP models will come with some type of GPU support, but if they don't, you can pick them up on like Amazon for like 10-15 bucks. It's just always a good thing to have if you have a very heavy card. Anything last generation you probably won't need, but that 4090 is like, it's just like such a big card, because I have a 3090 in here with no support at all and I've never had any issues. But
I mean, even the 4080 you had, that Strix card was a beast.
Yeah, they're big. So that, yeah, just keep that in mind. We talked about I think it was a last podcast. No, it was a podcast before. We talked about the two 8-pin EPS connectors on your motherboard and power and all that kind of stuff. And this story has something to do with that. So the upcoming, which it hasn't come out yet, Intel Core i9-14900KS will draw up to 409 watts on stock speeds. We'll talk about that. This processor hasn't come out. We expect it to be announced at CES. This is the special edition Computex processor. We were expecting it at CES.
Oh, I thought you said we are expecting it.
Oh, no. I don't
know. Yeah, we were expecting it. Yeah,
we were expecting it at CES. I don't know. I mean, Computex is decently far away in the beginning of June. Kind of everybody kind of expected this to come out or be announced or be available, announced at CES, available later. It's not out. Again, this is special edition, highly binned CPU. This will be the fastest Intel desktop processor to come out, but it hasn't. And it has been tested. The guys over at HKEPC found this database listing of the OCCT, which is a power stress test database. They found it in there. And in this specific system, they turn the power limit off. So if you've ever done overclocking, you basically turn your PL2 or your maximum turbo power limit like to unlimited, or in most motherboards, it's 4,096 watts. That just like makes it unlimited. Like you can just put as much power through it as you want. If you're doing overclocking, that's typically what you do. And the chip can do 56 seconds of maximum turbo power at a time. So they did that, ran the test, and they measured 409 watts being pulled by the CPU. And this is not overclocking. This is just at its stock, 6.2 gigahertz that it will boost on the P core by default. So that means, so we talked about it a couple weeks ago, that you should probably have both of those 8-pin EPS connectors connected.
You will need those. Absolutely.
Old man in the chat says, is there an air cooler that will work with 409 watt power draw? The thing is, it's 56 seconds.
Right. That's what I was just going to say.
That chip will heat up. If anything, it will thermally throttle itself and
it won't even hit that. But if you have,
even if you have the power limits turned, you would have to turn your thermal temp even. Because you would even if you would go over your max temp, like even because there's thermal limits that you can set, and then there's like the actual thermal limit,
the hard limit,
that the chip no matter what will shut down. So, I mean, you could put a high end air cooler like the Cooler Master one that we recently viewed, or like the Deep Cool Assassin 4, or some of the other bigger coolers. They will do a good job, but it's probably going to thermally throttle before anything else happens, you know. Okay. And
if since it can only do it for 56 seconds, like a water cooler could soak up that pretty well.
Yeah. I think you would kind of recommend a 420.
Yeah.
You know, and that's maybe this is the reason that Intel hasn't released this, is because it's, I wouldn't say it's unstable, but it's like we're getting to the point with these processors that they're just too hot. You know, like they're just too hot. And like if you're running a Ryzen 9 or if you're running a Core i9, more or less a 360 is kind of like what you need as a bare minimum. Right. And that's kind of scary. Like, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because because if you had a 360 millimeter AIO, you were running the highest end thing, and that was like
right.
that gave you so much headroom. And now that's kind of like the bare minimum.
Base. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we saw a lot of companies, and these aren't even like well-known water cooling companies or well-known cooling companies.
There are a lot of
that were they were showing all 420. So like for the next generation, it's gonna be even worse. You know, like everything is getting smaller, but like the cooling that we need is getting bigger, you know, because the PCBs and the chips are getting smaller, you know, but the cooling that we need to keep these things
cool. Well, then that just means you got to have a case that supports that size of, you know, radiator and everything. So it just
so
keeps going.
Very, very interesting story there. We'll let you know when we know more information, when that chip will come out, if that chip will come out. If it's just not stable, do you think Intel just doesn't release it?
No, I think they'll still release it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And our last story. Now, this is. I don't see this making sense, but that's here we are.
Weird.
Yeah. So Intel, or not Intel, Lenovo will be introducing a ThinkBook laptop with transparent OLED display. Now, I think the display is here, which maybe this does make. No,
because I don't want to type on a flat surface.
No, I think it is.
No, I think that's with it closed. That's the lid closed.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. So this new ThinkBook laptop, which we didn't see this at CES. This is probably far off. But I guess, and again, this is I guess because it isn't. This is a render. I think. Don't know. But anyways, this transparent OLED display. And I guess this is transparent, but like transparency is good for certain situations, like having a transparent display, right? It's good in certain situations, but like for a laptop, what's the point?
Right. It's like, depending on what's behind you, it could be so distracting.
Unless it's down here.
I mean, I know they're showing that.
Yeah, so it's hard to tell.
What's the point of... See, but there, it looks like it's closed.
Yeah, this is with the laptop closed.
I don't know. I don't like, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool and it looks cool, but like, what do you need to be doing on your laptop that you need to see through it? So you can see
through, right.
That's the thing that I'm... You know, because we saw a lot of transparent displays at CES, and the big thing was like, oh, you're in the concourse at a sporting event. You know, you can see the score on the screen, but then you can see through to see the game. And there's certain things where like transparent displays make sense, especially on like in cars and, you know, in hotel rooms where like the window, it can have some widgets on it and things like that. But like for a laptop, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't, you know.
Yeah,
I just don't know overall. So we'll be interesting to see if we get more information on this. Obviously we'll let you guys know, and we'll talk about it again. If it just, you know, there's certain things that just make no sense, and I think that for me that's one of them. So
sometimes you just gotta do it to, like, I don't know. Do it to do
and
it.
And it's
right?
It's like a thing we're obviously talking about, so it's giving them press too. Like, how many are they going to sell? Probably not a lot, but you never know. Moving on to what we have coming up next week, we got two coolers. I'll be taking a look at the Be Quiet Dark Rock Pro 5. And this is another big boy CPU cooler, dual tower, dual fan, big cooler. So I will be having that for you guys. Ryan is taking a look at the Iceberg Thermal Iceflow Oasis 360, which I'm kind of interested to take a look at because I was a pretty big fan of their actual air coolers. So we'll see how their liquid coolers do. And it looks like a pretty, again, pretty basic cooler. And I think there's three camps. There's the camp of like the very basic cooler. You have like, again, like RGB fans and maybe a little RGB on the block, but that's it, right? And then you have the ones with the screens, right?
Yep.
And then you also have kind of in the middle where it's like, we're going to give you the really cool daisy chain fans that you snap together. That's kind of like, there's like three different kind of pricing and things segments. But I do like these ones that are kind of basic because not a lot of people may not want the screen and everything like that. So, we'll see how that one does. And Ryan will tell us next week if it's good, if it's worth picking up. And then I'll be taking a look at a new keyboard. I can't tell you about it, but it's really nice and it's sitting in front of me and I wish I could show you guys. And I was taking our picture for social media for the podcast and it was in it and I posted it. Whoops. And then I had to take it down. Although you probably wouldn't have been able to figure out what it was, but it's from a company that's known for keyboards. They've never made a keyboard this size and it's really nice. And it's just different in a lot of aspects. And again, I'll go into that next week. But really excited to tell you guys about this. It's been a lot of fun testing. And I've been having a lot of fun testing keyboards lately. So this has been a fun one. And I'm excited to play games with it tonight as well. So
sweet.
I will have that for you guys next week. And then we have question of the week. And because of our Patriots Supersonic Rage Prime review, a lot of people were wondering, I wasn't making a huge deal, but I was like, this is a really fast drive. And they're like, it's a flash drive. It's not that fast. And I think a lot of people do consider flash drives as like slow. Your company gives you a flash drive, maybe when you start or like, as part of like your thing you use at your work, or you get one at an event, and those are like typically USB 2.0 drives. Sometimes they're USB 3, but we'll go into the speeds. And a lot of people have this misconception about USB and speeds, and they don't understand what it means. And a lot of times too, is that you get a case, and a case says USB 3, that it doesn't say USB 3.2 Gen 2, it doesn't say 2x2, it has a Type C, but you don't know if the Type C is fast or if it's a Gen 2x2, like you don't know. So we're going to go over USB, and I've talked about USB at length on this podcast with the naming. The naming is so bad, the people who do the naming should be punched in the face because they could have made it easy, and they always change what USB 3.1, because we had USB 3, then we had 3.1, then we had 3.2, and now 3.1 is called 3.2, and it's a mess. So we're going to go over what are the different current USB names, their speeds, and give you kind of an idea. And Silverstone actually has a really good diagram, which I'm going to bring up here. We'll make it pretty big so you guys can see it, of USB, the speeds, and the actual connectors as well, so you can kind of know what these are going to be. We're really not going to go over USB 2.0 because I think that almost every new device, whether it's a laptop, PC, is going to have USB 3. And there are a couple different names for USB 3, and there's different speeds as well. So currently, a lot of people are calling USB 3.0 USB 3.2 Gen 1. And USB 3.2 Gen 1 has a theoretical bandwidth of 5 gigabits per second, which kind of goes out to around the maximum is going to be 640 megabytes a second. This is a lot of flash drives will be this speed. A lot of portable drives will be this speed. A lot of USB type A connectors will be this speed on your cases as well, and the connectors as well. So you have a bunch of different connectors that you will see with this, mainly USB type A and USB type C. You have a micro B here, and what is this? This big one. That's a USB.
That's just like the host. I forget what that was.
Yeah, it's the big one, whatever that's called. But that's USB 3.0 or USB 3.2 Gen 1. Moving up, we have USB 3.2 Gen 2. And for the most part, USB 3.2 Gen 2 will be on all new laptops. It's going to be on all new motherboards should have a handful of USB 3.2 Gen 2 ports. This is also called USB 3.1 in some circles. And this is going to give you a theoretical bandwidth of 10 gigabits per second or a maximum data transfer speed of 1280 megabytes a second. Typically, it's around 1000 megabytes a second in my testing on most of these USB 3.2 Gen 2 devices. That's only going to, you're only going to see type A and type C on this. That's pretty typical. Mostly type C, especially on newer devices, is going to be type C. And then we finally have USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So it's like the 2x2. We call it 2x2. It's just like 2x2. Again, you will see this on some motherboards. A lot of motherboards are opting for USB 4 or Thunderbolt, which we'll go into. But this is also called USB 3.2, which again gets confusing because all of these are called USB 3.2. And this is where the USB people are idiots. But this gives you a theoretical bandwidth of 20 gigabits per second, maximum transfer speed of 2,560 megabytes a second. Typically, it's around 2,000 in my testing. This is going to be all of your portable, a lot of the faster portable SSDs that have a rated speed of around 2,000 megabytes a second. They're USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. Do I have it? Yeah. So like, wait, no, it's a 2x2.
That plug was also, is just B, like USB 3B.
This big one. Yeah. But like this A data drive right here, this portable SSD type C, it is USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So maximum speeds on that are around 2000 megabytes a second. So hopefully that gives you an idea of USB. Now you have seen USB 4, you've seen motherboards that have technically USB 4 ports. That is more or less Thunderbolt 3. So basically Intel owns Thunderbolt? Yeah, I believe. Intel kind of licensed this out to USB, so it basically is, it's Thunderbolt 3. So you're getting 20 gigabit per second or 40 gigabit per second, depending, and you can be anywhere from 2,560 megabytes a second to 5,120 megabytes a second on the speed. You can see the little logos. So like one will say 20, one will say 40. And you'll see that on like the rear connector of your motherboard for the most part. Most of them will be 20. A really high-end device might give you a 40. These are all going to be type C. And a lot of those type Cs will carry with it power delivery as well. So hopefully that explains it to you guys. We get this question a lot of like, how fast is my flash drive, or how fast are the connectors on my motherboard, or is the connector on my, you know, is the type C on my case, is that Gen 2 or USB 3.2 Gen 2, or is it Gen 2x2? And a lot of case companies don't tell you what the connector is. They just say it's a type C, and sometimes it will give you, if you connect it to your motherboard, it will give you Gen 2x2. Sometimes it won't. It all depends on the cable and what they're doing. So that kind of explains it. If you guys do have any questions, let us know.
Yeah. You mentioned cables. Like now you've got your ports figured out. You got to make sure you got a cable that supports these two, right? Like a type C doesn't necessarily, as you can see, there's type C on even USB 2.0. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be able to support those faster speeds.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing too, is that people, is like, you know, with your phones or with other things, they want like a data transfer cable. And typically, like if you're on Amazon, you buy the cheapest cable because it's just like a cable that I'm transferring data from my phone. But then you take all these videos and you want to, you know, cycle them off onto your PC, whether it's Android or it's a newer iPhone. And you're like, this is so slow. Technically, it's a USB 2.0 type C cable that does data transfer. So when you're on Amazon, you want to make sure that one, the cable, if you're buying like a cable for your phone, that it says data transfer, and then make sure you look up the data transfer rate. And again, it's probably going to be in gigabits per second. So you either want 10, most cables will be 10. It's not often you find a 20 gigabit per second cable,
or one that you want to pay for.
Yeah, or one that you want to pay for. So make sure it says 10, and you should be good to go. But yeah, that's also super confusing. It's like finding the right cable. Yeah, and then people buy the charging cable for their phone, and then like months later, they try to connect their phone to their computer and it's just charging. And they're like, wait a minute, I need to get data off this thing. Old man in the chat said a lot of people say that the cheap cables on Amazon don't work at the rated speeds. Yeah, you have to be careful with cables. There are a lot of, you know, companies that say it's this and it doesn't even get remotely close to that. I don't even know any good cable companies, to be honest. Because like most of the time we just get the cable that comes with the drive, you know,
sure.
Or like the cable that comes with your phone or whatever.
I mean, like StarTech is good.
Okay.
They're reliable. I know Monoprice at one point had some pretty good cables. I have some Amazon Basics cables. I have some Anchor cables as well.
Yo, yeah, Anchor's good. Amazon Basics typically is. They're not. They're like they're the rubber cable. Like they're not like, usually, but they do work at the rated speeds that they say. So you again, it's, you know, I would like just like with anything, read the reviews. But that's kind of what you're gonna get out of those cables. But USB is confusing. It's again, if they just would have done it in order, we wouldn't have had this problem. But it happens a lot. But with, especially with USB 4, you're going to see another massive jump in transfer speeds, which is going to be really great for people like me who like super fast portable storage, faster, more availability. And again, you'll see USB 4 on a lot of like your newer laptops and motherboards and things like that. So really exciting for all of that. Also, as we come to the end here, we typically talk about anything tech related. Did you do anything tech related? Watch anything tech related?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, me neither. And there wasn't any like crazy tech stuff like at this, you know, like the Super Bowl, sometimes they like demo tech as far as like the one year there was like a drone show. And then the one year they did the crazy 360 camera thing. And
I wonder if like anybody wore the stupid Apple Vision Pro to the game. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, I've been seeing a lot of the Apple Vision Pro. I don't know.
I mean, I watched like MKBHD's video on the Vision Pro. I don't know if you watched it at all.
I did not. I haven't watched any video on it. All I saw is the videos on like social media.
Right.
I should watch it because it is interesting. It's just I'm not as interested because it's way out of my price range.
Yeah.
Of some tech that I would like be interested in buying. Because I would be interested in trying it and checking it out, but like I couldn't
owning it. Yeah,
it's a whole other thing. That's probably why I haven't watched videos on it. But yeah, nothing really tech related. I think just been busy working on reviews. We have a lot of stuff coming up for you guys, so yeah, definitely exciting for all that kind of stuff. But we're gonna play some games, and I get to try this awesome new keyboard. Well, we did play last night. I used this keyboard as well. We'll be playing some Apex Legends, new season, new game mode, which is super fast paced, and Ryan is not a fan.
What? That's fine.
But it is a lot of fun. So we'll be over on Twitch. So we end the stream and then we pick it back up on Twitch for our gaming stream. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go there. Ryan hosts that stream and we have a lot of fun playing some games. So that is it for this week. Thanks everybody for coming out in the live chat. Of course, we had Corey in there. We had Old Man in there as well. And of course, everybody that listens later, we definitely appreciate you. And we'll see everybody next week.